All right, we'll go ahead and get started. I think it's pretty close to time. So my name is Randy Vaughn, and this is a session on six key elements of an effective social media strategy. And I'm doing three different workshops here at different times, so you can catch all of the different workshops at least twice, sometimes three times on the schedule. So if for some reason you hear something today, you think, I need to tell somebody to come in, they can check the schedule. As a matter of fact, right after this, we move over to another room just down the hall and do the same presentation. And then I just did one earlier this morning on visual content strategy, particularly as it relates to social media. So if that's interesting to you or someone else, check the schedule. And I think it's tomorrow. I think I do it at least maybe once, or maybe it's Thursday. I think Thursday I do one. So we'll do three different topics. Just to give you an idea, people have asked me, are they the same topic? They're different. If I had my preference, I would do them in order, but they can stand alone. But this one is kind of the capstone of social media, because it's really more strategy. It's kind of a bigger picture of what we're doing on social media. One of the reason is people often don't know what they're doing on social media. They get on social media, but not sure why they're what they do, and they usually kind of ramp up and then stall out and kind of get frustrated. Is that experience? Some of you seem to have, the way you nod your head. So hopefully this will give you a little bit of a jump start to your social media. Like I mentioned, the visual content strategy is the second session. That's really looking at all of the different tools like Instagram and Pinterest and even Facebook, how we use visuals, images, graphics, photos, and including video. And that's what that session's about. And then the next session that I'll do tomorrow some of the best tools on social media. So we really dive into more of the platforms so that you can get an idea. We might see some today or talk about some today, but in that class on the social media tools, that's where we really dive into some of those different platforms so you can see maybe a benefit of why you need to maybe explore something like Instagram, or if you haven't explored that before. So there's some crossover in some of those, but you'll get three different presentations. I'm trying for the first time, because someone requested it at the last session. They wanted to record this, so I'm trying to record at the same time I'm talking. So I'm kind of managing that, but I think that's going to work. They couldn't be here, and they're not going to be at any of this presentation. So they asked me if I could record it. So I'm trying to record it at the same time. So hopefully that will work. Let me kind of just, and I get the hashtag there. A lot of people are using that on Twitter or Facebook. Even I think I saw on Instagram too. Use the hashtag if you're familiar with those. That just helps bring everybody together, meet new people. I've met new people on both Twitter and Facebook just because of the use of the hashtag. So use that. That's my Twitter handle there. And then, just so you'll be familiar a little bit more with who is Randy Vaughn, this is my crew. You'll actually see them around the hotel. So I don't know if I can get that door. They came with me today, or this week. So they're, if you see a massive hotel takeover, it's probably the two little boys on the bookends. If you ever watched Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, they kind of grew up with those two, and so I think they now see themselves in this hotel, thinking they can take it over. So you see that. My wife Kelly and I have been married 20 years this December, and Tori is our high school daughter. And then Katie is right next to Timothy down here. Just curious, everybody wants to know where we got Katie from, because she's adopted. And she is adopted from Benin, West Africa. We lived in Benin for about 9 years. I did, in my former life, I guess you'd say, I was a church planting and leadership training missionary in West Africa there. And I was always planned on doing marketing with my life. And then God kind of said, no, I want you to go there. And so we went and spent 9 years there. And out of that, it's a too long of a story to tell, but Katie, my daughter, her birth father and I were best friends there. And knew each other or all of 8 of the 9 years we lived there. And he's crippled with polio, has very little mobility, and not able to take care much of his kids. He's got 7 other kids, but his wife went into labor, and as a result of a problem with the C-section, she passed away after the birth of Katie. And so Katie was born, and so her birth father asked us to raise her and adopt her, and so we gladly accepted, and so she's been with us since she was 3 weeks old. That's kind of where she came from in this village. I'm going back in September. I go back periodically just to check on things. These are some of the pastors and ministers I work with. So just to give you an idea of who I am, am I blocking your way when I do that? Okay. So let's get into a little bit more about social media. What we're talking about, like I mentioned before, it's social media kind of, who feels like social media just came on like a train wreck? I mean, just 10 years ago, we weren't talking about Instagram. And really, it was interesting. I had a friend who taught at the university level, and she asked me to come in and speak. Now, this is odd. I'm a 40-year-old guy talking to a bunch of 20-somethings about the history of social media. That was a funny class. But what was interesting was I put up a timeline for them, and I said to them, and I think it was like 2004, Facebook began. And then I said, 2007, Twitter began. And they all looked at me like, you mean it's not always existed? And they were shocked that it was just that recent. And I think that's what a lot of us feel. Like, it has just come on, and sometimes you just feel like you just feel buried in social media. And it was just, at one time, it was just, hey, Facebook. And then somebody said, oh, we've got to get on Twitter. And then Instagram. And then now there's Pinterest. And then there's a host of other little things that kind of barking out there saying, well, maybe we should use that. YouTube's always been there, and we should have video. And social media has really just kind of come on really, really fast. So if at any time you feel overwhelmed, underprepared, a little confused, not sure what to do, you're in good company with 90% of the world, especially those in nonprofit organizations. Even I work with some small businesses, and they are equally frustrated because they're not sure what they're doing. And so the natural reaction when this comes on is to jump in and say, okay, we started a Facebook page. We'll start posting some things. Meanwhile, then somebody says, well, what are you doing on Twitter? Well, okay, we'll start tweeting out at some things. And as I mentioned, you just kind of ramp up and it kind of stalls out, and you may just be plateaued, or you may have just given up. I see a lot of Facebook pages where I look in the July of 2015 and see the last post was June of 2015. So that tells me something. That at a school, there are a host of people that could post something. But I think we feel frozen at times, not sure what we're to do. Does that seem to resonate? Y'all, I think everybody kind of understands that. So here's what I do. And I went through this in the previous class just to give a baseline. I think marketing in general needs to have a little bit of a definition behind it, because without any kind of framework of what we're talking about, I think we can begin to use what is in our mind, in our history, what marketing would be. Marketing has historically had a negative connotation to it, and a lot of it's been manipulation or heavy promotion. And we've experienced that. We've received that. We've been the consumer on the other end, sometimes feeling like, hey, step back with all the TV ads and all the stuff, and you click on YouTube to watch a video, and there's an ad that pops up, and you're like, I just want to watch the video. I don't want to be bombarded by your promotion. And I think sometimes we don't want to come across that way in school marketing, education marketing, because even there's some resistance to even marketing at all, because we're talking about education and the kids. But there's that tension of, we're education, we're somewhat of a nonprofit, we're just talking about school, and yet there's empty seats that represent operation dollars, and we've got to fill those seats. And so how do we get on social media and market ourselves if we don't know, if we don't want to promote and manipulate, but we got to fill those seats? So what do we do? How do we do this? So we're going to start with a definition and kind of give us a little bit of a starting point. All of these slides will be available. I'll tell you how to get them at the end, so you don't have to write down every single thing. A definition kind of starts like this. It's a pretty simple definition. This is what I operate with every client we work with, is getting ideal families to know, like, and trust you. Okay, so that's about halfway through the definition, but I'll stop there. You have ideal families, families that are mission appropriate. They share your values. They're able to pay, at least partially pay, if they might get a little bit of financial aid, but they can help support the revenue aspect of the school. They are ideal families. You have some families now that you'd probably like to, if you could afford to kind of kick out, because they just take from the trough and they don't give anything. That's not an ideal family. An ideal family would be somebody who'd give back and share and maybe pay more. You know, there's a lot of factors, but we have in our minds a list of ideal families. What they look like, where they come from. If we had 10 more of those, that would be perfect. That's who your ideal family is. They're out there. But we have to get them to know, like, and trust us. Think of this as that dating metaphor. That idea of some families maybe moving into town, maybe starting thinking about transferring into town. So they're in Connecticut looking at you in Georgia or Texas, and they're just beginning to get to know what schools are available. They might even be in your community now, but have never, ever thought they would attend a private school. And almost to the point where they're resistant because they think, I grew up in a public school, I turned out fine, and it's free. I don't want to have to pay to go over there. So there's a lot of barriers, a lot of resistance. There's a lot of people in your that are ideal families that you have to get them to know who you are. Beyond the reputation you have in town, beyond the stereotype of private schools, you have to get them to know you. So that's where you're at with some folks. Just basic awareness. And then as you move along, getting them to know, like, and trust you, that's just a nurturing of that relationship to the point where if a prospective family didn't know you before and now they know you enough to where I've compared three other schools, three other possibilities, even explored maybe homeschooling, and I've decided after all the research that I trust you, then I'm going to enroll my kids, my babies, in your school. That's where we get, that's where trust has got to happen before that can take place. At this stage, we usually get enrollment. That's what usually happens when they trust you enough to say, okay, you can have my kids. Now, we don't want to stop there because enrollment, here's the shocker of the afternoon, enrollment is not the end game of marketing. A lot of you probably think, this guy's nuts. He's crazy because that's what we're driven on is enrollment numbers. That's what I'm measured on. It's actually just part of it because enrollment gets you a new seat filled. But you know that seat over there is going to bail out next month, maybe at the end of the year. They're going to get transferred out. They're going to go up back to public school. Whatever reason, that chair gets empty. And all of a sudden, well, now you got to work for another chair. And while there's two more that leave. And then something happens with one of the teachers. You fill those two seats, but then another three leave. And you're constantly just adding one by one, trying to get this to happen to get enrollment. Well, here's what we really want to get to is this. Getting these ideal families to get to know, like, and trust you so that they'll enroll. But what we really want to do in the process of marketing, we're trying to build loyal ambassadors for your school. Let me ask you, I did this first class. If you're in the first session, don't answer. If I mention the word loyalty in a school setting, what word comes to mind? Loyalty. What process in your school year do you think loyalty is important? Re-enrollment. There you go. How many of you sent out the re-enrollment letter? Crossing your fingers, hoping they all say yes. And you may be satisfied with the percentage, 92%, 95% re-enrollment, and that's okay. But what if you could have a higher percentage? Because a lot of times when we want loyalty, but we do very little intentionally to nurture loyalty. We basically, especially with new families, a lot of times what happens, we enroll them, we celebrate, we do the big cheer, and then 6 months later, we send them a letter and say, now it's time to re-enroll for next year. And this is the way it goes every year. Meanwhile, the family that just surrendered their trust to you with their kids has had 6 months of good experiences, some disillusionment. And they're not quite sure if they want to do that again next year. They're not quite their loyalty yet. What can we do? So what we need to do is think, how can we be more intentional about recruiting enrollment, but also loyalty. Ambassadors is another part, is families who are great sources of referrals, word of mouth. Those are the families that you really want. Because if you want enrolled families, you can probably get some enrolled families. You can put discount on tuition. You can run some promotions on things. You can kind of strong arm some people. You can kind of do a lot of things to get people to fill a seat. Okay? But to get loyal ambassadors takes a lot more intention and a lot more effort year-round. And so you got to focus on that. So that's just to give you an idea. When I think about marketing for a school, this is what I'm talking about. And I think that's what you should think about. Beyond just manipulation or promotion or campaigns, things like that. Focus on building loyal ambassadors. How does this effort now, whether we're talking about it on Facebook, even what we do at an open house or a new school year orientation coming up, what are we doing at this moment to market our school, to build loyal ambassadors for our school? That's a big question you need to ask. Okay, so before we get into the major elements, I want to make sure we have three fundamental principles about social media. These are absolutely critical. If you don't get these, then you'll ramp up and stall out or fizzle out completely, and you're very likely not going to nurture those loyal ambassadors for your school. What you're going to do is, worse, you could turn them off, and they won't even think about it. Come on in. All right, so there's three things that we want to focus on. First thing, the first major principle we have to understand is that every prospective family, even current ones, but particularly prospective families, have needs, problems, pains, frustrations, or fears. Memorize that phrase: needs, problems, pains, frustrations, fears. You know what they are. You know, you can name them. You can recognize some of the common ones. Maybe it's the middle school dad who is tired of seeing his superstar athlete that he raised up and nurtured to say, if you believe in yourself, you can play, you can do anything. And all of a sudden, he hit the middle school, maybe even the high school, the football team, the basketball team, and all of a sudden, he's making the B team, the C team, because he's just not that good. And he is sitting on the bench every single game. Frustrated dad is having a problem with his public school because his son isn't getting the opportunity to play. Maybe not that he's trying to send him off to a scholarship and ultimately the NFL, but just dad wants to see his kid play, and his kid's good. And dad maybe sees a frustration, or has a frustration here. If our social media only talks about us, then we don't even acknowledge that frustration, then we don't make a connection with dad at all, because we're not talking his language. If preschool mom, who just less than 10 years ago was graduating high school, now she's married and has these little babies, and she's raised them up to 4 or 5 years old, and now she's got to surrender those babies up to somebody else who's going to take care of those. Nobody can take care of my babies like I can, so you're all out there, and I've got to kind of interview all of you because no one can take care of my babies like I can. And so I'm interviewing you because I'm scared. I have a underlying fear that if I don't start my child on the right trajectory in the beginning, everything's going to fall apart. It's not going to go well with my kid. So there's that underlying fear that if I don't get it right at kindergarten, even though it's a little crazy, we know those of us who have been through this, we know that's kind of ridiculous, but there are moms that feel that extreme, like this is the moment that's going to decide my kid's future, whether or not I get them in this school or that school. We've got to understand what their needs, problems, pain, frustrations, and fears are. Number two, very key principle about social media, that it's social media, not promotional media. I can't tell you how many businesses I've worked with, and certainly schools, who have said, we got to understand social media because it's free. And we can tell the world about us if it's free, because then we're unlimited. I don't have to request a budget increase. I don't have to reallocate anything from what I'm doing in print or direct mail, because it's all free and I can just promote. It's not promotional media. It's social media. We were kindly invited to participate as organizations, as businesses, the social network, which was completely built so that I could talk to my friends and I could keep up with my family. That's the reason social networks were there. We all know the story of Facebook. Facebook was invented not so I really want to create a place where schools and businesses can jump in and promote the heck out of their stuff and interrupt my day. That's not why it was ever created. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all those, at its core, is social. It's the idea of connecting. We have been allowed to participate in those spheres. But we are not to go in and abuse that presence by playing promotional media. Now, there's opportunities on Facebook. You can boost some posts, and you'll see sponsored posts in there. And there's some limits we can do. We can do some of that. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. All right, but it's not promotional media. This is the one I love the most, is this. And this is kind of what we're talking about, number one. If all I'm doing is talking about me and my school, and I'm not talking about your needs, problems, pain, frustration, or fear, and I'm not going to get anywhere with social media. It's not about you. It's about them. Them, prospective families, even your current families would fall into the them category. It's not about you. And that's so hard because we think, well, it's marketing, right? I mean, we're supposed to promote ourselves. We're supposed to push out our message and promote, right? Well, it's not promotional media, it's social media. So we have to understand these three principles. They all kind of relate together. It's just not about you and your school. It's about them. So we're going to walk through this a little bit together. One of the tools I want you to just jot down, this is, if you've never read this book, this is one, it's a couple of years old now. It's a book called Utility. It's by a guy named Jay Baer. And you can, I just got a link. That link will take you directly to Amazon. It's not, I don't sell the book. I just made a quick link so you can remember it. It's called Utility. The book is by Jay Baer. I think it was 2012 or 2013. But the subtitle of the book is called Why Smart Marketing is About Help, Not Hype. And I love that terminology because marketing has forever been about hype and manipulation and promotion and all about the product rather than the consumer. But Jay talks about in this book kind of a rethinking of what marketing is, about how do we help each other. And then, and I actually had this presentation, believe it or not, had this presentation, and you'll see why I'm saying this, before the book came out, but I just, that's why I love this book, because I play on that same idea of the word help. And we'll go through this. So write down that book. I think you'll enjoy that read. All right, so we're going to get in these six elements. So this is the basic question. When we're talking about social media, we don't want to be the self-promoting, narcissistic social media creator, right? We don't want to be that. No one would want to be that. Now, if someone were to audit your social media and said, are they self-promoting? Do they talk about themselves? Do they ever talk about anybody else? Do they ever talk about their families, their prospective families? Or is it just always about them? Unfortunately, I think we might fail and realize we're more self-promoting and narcissistic than we think, based on our content that we post, right? We don't want to be that. No one wants to be that. So let's do the heart assessment and say, okay, I want to be opposite of that. This is what you would be, a helper. You would be somebody that helps. That's why I like, that's why I love Jay's book, is that smart marketing is more about help than hype. Right? So if we're going to go through this, and I've got this, as you can imagine, this is a little acronym that's easy for you to remember. This answers the question, I think, when you're sitting there in front of your phone, your device, your laptop, your desktop computer, and you have that thought, that question, what am I supposed to put on Facebook today? What do I tweet out? What do I put on Instagram? What do I do? So we're going to walk through this together, and if you have any questions along the way, feel free to ask them. We don't get out here for quite a while, so we're going to have plenty of time to go through this. But I want to walk through this with you real quick. All right. So what to post on Facebook? What to post on social media? We all know that the hub of all of social media is your website. All right. Now, this is not... So what I mean by hub is that's the first place that I might think about. And you can do this in order. I know one school, when they first started out, they said, hey, we'll take Sunday off, and then there'll be six other days of the week. And helper is a six-letter word, so I'll do one of these a day. If you want to do it that way, that's fine. Or if you just have in your head that it's been a while since I've done one of these letters, so I might do something like that today. One of them could be, what is on our website right now? What's at the hub of our social media strategy? Ultimately, where all social media we really would like people to go to, right? That's kind of, I don't have it in this presentation, but I think in the one that I'm doing on tools, I have this presentation that it's like a big bicycle wheel. You got bicycle wheel right in the middle, you got this hub, and that's your website. And then you got all the spokes coming off of it, and then all the little points at the end are all the different social media channels and tools, platforms out there, all right? And so when you go to that presentation tomorrow, you'll see that. But you can visualize the hub of everything is your website, because really, we want social to be interactive on the platforms, but when we can, we want to draw people back to the website, because really, online marketing, that's where a lot of things are going to happen. That's where a lot of what I talk about, there's a lot of information on your website that people need to know. But there's a lot of inspiration on your website too. There's a lot of stories, a lot of success stories and testimonials that are on your website. We need to drive people back to that. So whether you're on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest or Twitter, as often as possible, if we can find a way to get them back to the website, we're doing our job in social media, because social media is just a touch point. We can interact with them there, but if we can get them from there, kind of like a magnet to get them back to the website, now we're making some progress in terms of marketing, because there we can showcase our successes. As I mentioned before in the other presentation, I think of like all of this social media and website kind of like going to the supermarket. If you go to the supermarket, how many of you have ever walked into your favorite grocery store with a list that said milk? And that's all you went in for. That's all you had to do. Maybe didn't even take it. You didn't even have to write it down, because it was so simple. All I've got to do is go to milk. And for some reason, those crazy grocery stores put milk where? Back of the store. You realize that's intentional, right? Why do they put it at the back of the store? Because you got to walk past everything else. You got to walk past the cookies that go with the milk. And then you realize, oh, I forgot that we do need bread. And then did you realize that on aisle 6, they also sell this? And did you know that book that was out? I didn't know that it was out. So I need to pick up a copy of that before it gets sold. And did you know, I mean, before we know it, our basket is full of things we didn't intend to go to, but we saw when we were there. Some of it is just things we didn't know existed. Some of it is, you know, I really need that. And so in that idea, social media is kind of like a way to interact and introduce yourself, getting those families to know, like, and trust you. A lot of that happens on social media, because that's where they see you, they interact with you, they engage with you. But we draw them back to the website in hopes that, not in a manipulative kind of way, but just in a way to bring them to the supermarket, in hopes that once we showcase all the good things that we have there, they realize, you know, I didn't realize that school actually had a strong academic program. I didn't know they even offered AP courses at that class. I thought they were too small. Or I thought that football team would be too small for my kid to play there. I didn't realize the last 3 years they've sent most of their players to Division I schools on scholarship. Those are the things that when we draw them to the website, then they become aware of things. And so social media has a place to draw them back to this hub of the website. So back up a little bit. Now we go back and say, okay, now I'm wanting to post on Twitter, Facebook. There's got to be something on our hub that I can post. Now, how many of you would, probably not many of you, would say, I think I want to post our tuition schedule on Facebook. I think that'd be really compelling. No, we're not going to post that. That's not going to be the kind of content we want. But we could post a success story that maybe was posted if you have a blog on your site or some sort of news feature. You could say, you know, that's a story that maybe it happened last fall, but we're about to start out the fall season again. Maybe there's a story about a success from last fall that you want to feature. Post. We can go back to the website and post now from that. If all we're posting is information, though, I think we're going to run out of ideas there to post. That's why we want to think about inspiration before information. Think about what kind of stories can we write, what kind of stories can we share on our website so that we have something to post on Facebook. Okay? So when you're thinking about what to post, what's on our website now that would really be important information? Maybe it's a part of the FAQ page. all of you have questions that parents have asked that you could fill up an FAQ page. If you don't have an FAQ page, you desperately need an FAQ page. It's great content on your website. Keeps people on your site longer because these are the questions that have been asked by 1,000 other people. You need to go ahead and put them out there and put the answers, at least a brief answer, because you know they're asking the question. Don't make them look around and then leave because no one ever answered their question. Go ahead and ask the question and list out the answer. And then somebody told me the other day, not only frequently asked questions, but these are the, what do they call them, should ask questions. These are the questions that we wish they would ask because they should know that. They should be asking us these questions. So related to the testing, you know, the mom who thinks, I'm going to get out of that public school because I'm tired of that standardized test. I'm going to go to private school where they don't test. Well, we know that's not true. You have your own kind of testing. So we need to be putting out information about the questions that they should be asking. So these are things that we can fill up our website with content. That's not heavily promotional content. It's just answers to questions that our parents have. We need to be putting that out. Well, that would make great content over on social media because now we're not waiting for them to have to come to the website to find the answers to that. We're actually giving it to them there. So we're starting to help by providing some of those answers over on social media. So when you're thinking, go back to the website and see what kind of helpful information that we have, we've already invested in. Maybe it's a video. Maybe it's a FAQ page. What can we post there? All right. Again, if it's all about me, then I've got 1,000 things to post. I can post all about our school, all about our offerings, all about everything. But what if it's about you, though? What if it's about you, the prospective mom, the prospective dad? Well, then that changes things because now I'm not trying to post so much about me. I'm trying to promote things that are going to help you. Well, now I've got to educate you. Some of it is just good educational things about, you know, things that you might that they might not know about private schools, or how to afford a private school. A lot of these families, a lot of your ideal families, you're probably sitting in public schools, and they're frustrated. They have needs, problems, pains, frustrations, fears. They're sitting in the public school because they have their own barriers up to say, I can never afford that. If we could educate them on ways that they could afford schools, stories of families who have adjusted their lifestyle, made sacrifices, whatever they had to do, then that could be really good education for them. We could educate our audience. So think in terms, what do they not know that they should know? What would be important for them? What can we tell them that would educate them? So again, it's not about me and our school. It's more about how can I help in your problem. All right? So here's an example. It's one of our clients that I used to work with called Covenant Life School. In there, they were closely affiliated with the church. They shared the same campus. They were separate organizations, but it was a big mega church kind of thing, thousands of people. And they knew at that church was a large contingency of homeschool families. Large, big co-op thing and lots of them. But as we were talking about in the work I was doing with them, I was actually helping them carve out that ideal family part. We were actually segmenting that out and determining what would be different types of ideal families. What are some types of personas that would... So we came up with 3 to 5. And one of them that they decided would be a good ideal family for them would be somebody that is in the homeschool area now, but they were frustrated with what they were experiencing. Because all of them on the staff knew families that were frustrated, homeschool families. We weren't trying to grab from the homeschool families that were satisfied with what they were doing. We were trying to look for those who were frustrated with the process, who had got in thinking it was going to be as good as it was for their friends, and they've been in for a few years realizing, this ain't working for me. They were in it when they were young. Now the kids are older, and it's not working now. And they are frustrated, homeschool families. And so in that education, we realized, okay, yes, we could go blanket all the vehicles in the church parking lot with posters and banners about Covenant Life School and say, if you're a frustrated homeschool family, you know, we want to help. You know, that would not be an effective strategy. So we had to find ways to reach out to them. So they created a webinar on just this topic, how to make that smooth transition from homeschool to day school. And in the webinar, it was a live webinar, and then they recorded it, and it sits out on their website where you can go and register for that and watch it on demand. And so it was a series of, it was an educational process by pointing out, here's what you need to know if you're coming from homeschool to day school. This is what your experience will be like. These might be some of the challenges that you might face. These are some things you may not know, and blah, blah, blah. We just went on, and they created a webinar, and now it's, I think it still sits out there on the website, and periodically they get people signing up for this. And so this was a tool that they used, a webinar, kind of related to social media in a way, but it was a way that they could draw in families, educate them, and now those families are in their database, and I know they've had some successes of getting those families to enroll, and they said this was a big key part because homeschool families in that particular area, and it may be across the board, but very much private, did not want to admit that they were having frustrations, and they were almost to the point they were embarrassed by, because they wanted to be a successful homeschool family like their neighbors and their friends are, and they just weren't, and so they were scared to go out and walk into an open house at a school because that was too much. They wanted to, and this was a private tool that they could kind of watch and learn, and then that school helped them make that transition. So webinar could be a good tool. So it's really a matter of educating your families. And again, if you want to know about webinars, any of you follow Brendan Schneider, he's from Zwickli Academy. Some of you, been a part of, Brendan does a lot of good work. He's now the director of advancement at Zwickli Academy. He does a lot of great school marketing ideas on his own site because he's doing it at Zwickli Academy. And so I had him come on because they're using webinars at their school to educate families. They used to have an open house on a Saturday, and in one of the sessions was how to afford private school. And so now they have a webinar on that topic, and now they can educate families throughout the year because those webinars, they sit out there all year long, and people can be educated throughout the year rather than on that one Saturday morning that they used to. So I did a podcast interview with Brendan, a lot of good ideas. If you just go to our website, put the /50 in there, and it'll take you to the site where you can listen to that webinar. Okay, then the other thing is leadership. This is something that we often overlook. Again, this is social media, not promotional media. So we want to focus on leadership. There's a lot of things that could fall in this category. It could be as simple as a quote from some of your favorite business leaders, spiritual leaders, world leaders, whatever. You could have quotes from those leaders or post videos from world leaders that are inspirational. But you could also take it to your own leadership, your own head of school, your own athletic directors, or anybody in leadership at your school who could provide a sense of leadership. So this is not promotional media, it's social media, so we want to get out there and talk with our people, talk with our prospective families. One example might be is a head of school who could use a Facebook video. Posting video directly to Facebook, it might just simply be the head of school posting a 2 to 3 minute video from his phone like this once every Monday morning that just kind of allows him to share ideas, maybe some insight, maybe a little inspirational story from this past week, maybe a vision of what we're doing in the next year, maybe an update on the fundraising campaign, whatever it is. Head of school could do something inspirational showcasing leadership and put that on your Facebook page. And again, prospective families, when they're following you on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, now that's not just constantly reading about what your school offers. Now we're connecting. We're social networking with the leadership at your school. So there's a lot. That's just another L word that when you pop up to say, what can we do? Maybe there's something out there already, a great inspirational speaker that you want to post something from. A lot of, if any of you know anything about TED Talks, some of you have seen those where they just brief moments where people share ideas. A lot of great TED Talks out there. You may want to post something like that. That's inspirational. It's leadership. But it's also, if you can bring it down to your school and have, maybe you could say, this is an example. I was working with a school the other day that they were looking forward to, they were talking about August. We were talking about this example. And I said, can you think of anything at your school that would fit this? And it took them a while, and then they realized, they said, what about Coach White's talk with the kids right before football season starts? I said, well, tell me about that. What is that? And they said, every year, coach has been there 20 years, every year he gathers all the football players together and gives them the talk. Now, it's not the talk you're thinking about, but it's the talk about being a leader, that, you know, being a better husband, being a better father, all that we're doing in the high school years, all we're doing at this school is to prepare you to be a better follower of Jesus, or to be a better dad, to be a better leader, all those kind of, and he gives this talk every year. Now, who hears that talk? Only the players get to hear that talk. They're kind of approaching the coach because he's not quite sure he's going to do this, but they're exploring the idea, could we record that talk and let other people hear that? Because everybody that they've basically told families, you're going to love our football program because Coach White talked. And every time they tell that story to a prospective family, they said the dads light up and say, I want my kid to play for that coach. Because I played for the coach that we were at the public school, and he doesn't talk like that. I want to play for that coach. So what if we could take that speech that's just hidden down in the locker room only for a few years to hear, what if we could put it on social media where coach gets to share that with other people? So those kind of examples that you could post from your school, you probably have some ideas in mind. Another thing, I'm just giving you some links of some things I've done. If you ever thought your head of school, this could anybody in leadership, but particularly the head of school, doesn't always have a lot of intimate contact with families. A lot of times they're involved in development, or they're in more of the operations side, but sometimes they don't have as much intimate contact with families on a day-to-day basis as the teachers or the principals might. But if a head of school could have to extend their influence, could have maybe, I call it a podcast, some sort of audio. They could do a video too, or they could just do an audio recording where every week they could share what I was talking about earlier, kind of some stories, some examples, insights. Bringing that head of school off of that hierarchy of the picture on the website, that's all we see of the head of school. If you ever thought about that, how many times has a prospective family really interacted with the head of school? Maybe if they get to some sort of open house where the head of school does the opening presentation to everybody that's there. Other than that, they may not have much more interaction, except maybe a brief interaction in the hallway. But what if we could bring that head of school down to where prospective families hear the vision, the passion, but also current families are continually reminded of, I like to be at this school because this head of school really gets it. We're playing to building loyal ambassadors for your school. That'd be a great tool to think about in encouraging retention all year long. Okay, so that's just another one. On that one, be sure and put it in the lowercase letters, HOS. It needs that for some reason. So that's just another podcast. All right, so this is where we get a break. Because in this helper strategy, there is a place to promote. There is an opportunity for you to share about your school. It's a promotional time. It's a time to talk about the open house coming up. It's a time to talk about that kindergarten coffee that you want to have. It's okay to promote. If we can see this in the context of a greater effort to help our families, our prospective families, then we're okay. It's just when we constantly promote, and that's all we ever do. But if you can occasionally promote, that's okay. And I think your prospective families will allow that. They're not going to be upset with you. They're not going to unfriend you, unlike you, or anything like that, because they'll be okay as long as you keep that in balance. This is the one that I think a lot of people in marketing, we think, oh, why do we need to do that, you know? But we have to share things that are emotional. People, the thing that gets, statistics have shown that the content on any social media platform that gets the most likes or favorites or shares or any of those kind of engagement measurements are the things that make us laugh or that make us cry. You could even put anger in there, but anything that's passionate, anything that we get, but particularly laughter, kind of warm, fuzzy crying, you know, tears. Those are things that social networks love. We all love them. Especially the funny things, we like those. So in a strategy, we have to start thinking, what are we going to post? What would we post that has emotional content at all. But I think you have to be intentional about it. Start collecting those. I can't show you on this, but if you're on Facebook, most of the time, if there's a video posted or a little funny cartoon, and you think that's funny, it's appropriate, there's usually, if you click in the right corner, there's a little arrow that you post down, and it usually says save video or save link. There's sometimes an opportunity to do that, where you just want to save that for later. Or you can do it a lot of different ways. Or if there's an article out there or a video, you can just start collecting those. Make a note, copy the link, put it in a notepad somewhere, and says, okay, I'm going to keep that handy because I need to be able to post something from time to time. But again, those are those external sites and external content. What if there were things going on your campus that were good? Again, the emotional stories, the families that have, whether it's an enrollment kind of family testimony, those are good too. But what if there's something going on your campus that is, the kids are all rallying around somebody, maybe they've gone through a crisis in their family. Without manipulating the situation or exploiting that, how can we share that with the world so that our families, our prospective families, get a sense of who we are as a community? I think we definitely need to post that. And you know, there's a lot of funny stuff that goes on your campus. There's a lot of, you know, back when the movie Frozen was really popular, you know, that a lot of people did a lot of parodies of that, you know, teachers singing that. There's one that the head of school did a parody of that. It was all about school being canceled because of snow. I mean, but he took off on that video. He could have easily just said, you know, school's been canceled today, no school today. But they took time and created that video. I think they knew in advance it was going to be they wanted to have that, so whenever there was their first closing, they could post that. So that's the kind of things you have to be intentional about. Social media is somewhat reactionary, somewhat posting what's in the moment, but so much of it is, if you plan it, if you be intentional about it, you can have a really successful strategy. Related to the first E, the education, you want to think about some sort of resource that would be helpful to your families, current families, but also prospective families too. And I keep saying that over and over because a lot of times I work with schools or see schools that their content is more or less just for current families. It's like we're posting about the events that are going on, or even to the point where you might post a picture of a kindergarten teacher surrounded by her little babies reading. And I've seen people post a picture and then say, it's a great day. And I look at that and go, I don't know who that is. And, you know, obviously it gets some likes because the current families all know she's the favorite kindergarten teacher. She's been there 28 years. But the outsiders don't know that. So keep in mind when you're posting things, too, that your audience is both inside current families, but also prospective families are looking at that, too. Make sure you identify the people in the pictures. Tell the story of why that's such a significant picture. But now we're going to think about resources. So let me kind of walk through. I'll give you this one example from Brendan Schneider over at Swickley Academy that I mentioned. One of the things that they do, and he said it's really successful, is that they have a resource. I've forgotten exactly the title, but it's something to the effect of 27 questions that you should ask when choosing a private school. Something along those lines. Well, obviously, they created this document, and it answers a lot of those frequently asked questions. And obviously, they're kind of showcasing that, hey, we're a really good solution if you are going to choose a private school. But the intention is to give it out there to prospective families who are just looking and exploring, and they want to know, you know, here's a guide that's going to help me pick a private school. Okay, I'm going to download that. And that's a resource that Swickley Academy shares with families. He says, based on the numbers, we know we're getting more downloads than we are getting enrollment. So we know that it's going out to a lot more people than actually are enrolling. But the fact is, he said, in the last time I talked to him, he said there was 20-25% of the people that enrolled the previous year had mentioned reading that document. So that's just a resource that they provided along in that path of getting them to know, like, and trust Swickley Academy. They provided a tool, a resource. So this could be a couple more. Let me go through these real fast. These are things that you can do in written content. You can obviously, if you think, oh, we might be able to do that in a video, that'd be fine too. But written sometimes is the easiest thing to do. These are just some ideas. If you wanted to talk, again, talking not promotional media, but social, talk about the needs and problems and pains, frustrations, fears. And it's not about me, it's about you. So these are some things that we could write about. 7 mistakes Christian parents raise in raising disciples. 3 tips on steering strong-willed boys. 13 moms reveal their secrets about parenting daughters. This is the kind of content that prospective families, yes, they're looking at schools, but these are the things that are also in their wheelhouse of things that they're concerned about. They're concerned about their kids. And so this is, particularly as it relates to elementary families, this is great content. So you could put on your website, maybe in a blog feature, you could write a story about, you could write an article about that. Any one of those. You could do a video about any of these as well, and have some of your kindergarten teacher, or have these 13 moms on a panel, and or maybe just do a one tip for all 13 of them. Could just do one video tip and then compile it all together, make a real short video that has 13 tips on parenting daughters. That'd be a great thing that prospective families, and I think it bodes well for your current families too. I think they would eat that up. But prospective families are going to want to download that or watch it or read it. And so here's something for middle school. Now, what age should my child get a cell phone? Nowadays, it's becoming like 4. You know, they should have that. The 10 most disturbing things parents find in public school textbooks. So that'd be something that resonates with somebody who's concerned about the values of the public school versus maybe Christian school. Then maybe what it's like to have a social media contract with your team. What would that, you know, these are things that as middle school, parents of middle school, these are the things that they're concerned about. And so you as a school are being a resource for them. These are high school, how to choose a college, where to find, you could also do the same thing on where to find the top 10 places to find scholarships. Well, every parent out there who's got a high school kid is probably going to be looking for that anyway. They're Googling it all the time. You could talk about Snapchat or some of those other profiles where you guide them through some concerns about those things. Credit card dangers, you know, about these high school juniors and seniors and what they're going to be facing in the coming years. Well, now you're not doing promotional media at all. You're just helpful. You're being a resource. And by offering these kind of things, you're going to drive a lot more traffic to your website because people are, think about putting that link on Facebook, you know, 7 tips to choosing a college or where to find the scholarships that no one else can find, you know, and you put that link on your site. You write that. You could go to any number of other outside sources and find those articles too. But what if you could be the ones to post it? Then the traffic comes to your site, not off to some other website. But if you could put it on your site, then it's just a matter of going to your teachers, your experts. They all know this stuff. Your college counselor already knows all the ways to choose a college. They already talk about where to find scholarships. We just got to get that data, put it into one little blog post, and then put that out there on social media. So, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. One of the things that I do on Pinterest, if there's any Pinterest users out there, I'm on Pinterest, and I curate a lot of articles on boards. I have boards on recruiting and retention, referrals, Instagram, Periscope, video. I mean, I just do all kinds of boards. And one of them is called Parent Articles. At the top, you'll see that. And what I do when I'm on Pinterest or on Twitter or anywhere else that I see a good article that I think you should share with your families, that's where I put it. I pin it and put it there. So if anything, I would love for you to go there to my board and just follow that board, if anything. Just so, I had somebody earlier ask me, they said, where do you find the best articles to share with your families? There's a lot of places, but this is where I put mine so that you can go and then grab them and post them to your folks as well. So there's articles there about drinking and drugs. And, you know, here's one on, there's the secrets of searching for college money. This is one of the coaches from I think it's the Cubs coach. Talks about multi-sport athletes. These are articles that I'm putting that are actually going to go externally somewhere else. But if you could draft some of the same topics for your website, then instead of sending the traffic over to some other website that comes to your house. So So that's kind of the helper strategy. So as you're thinking about just, when you, remember those three fundamental principles, basically it's not about you, it's about them. That's the biggest one to remember. But just remember, you're the key elements of social media, I think this is it. I think if you could start thinking about that, then it kind of solves the problem of what do I post on Facebook? What do I put on social media? Because it gives me just some different things to think about, what to push out, so that I'm not always talking about me and I'm not just always promoting. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions or anybody have any ideas, anything that you've done that's been successful in social media? Yes. Okay. Okay. Pinterest is it's another social platform. Just in the same way that Facebook might be one, Twitter might be one. Pinterest is, think of it as pinning to a bulletin board. You might have a bulletin board, and if you see a good article, in the old days we'd cut it out and pin it to a bulletin board, and you would maybe you'd put it out there for all your staff to read, or the coaches would pin an article because they want all their kids to read it, the students to read it. Mom would put clip out articles because she wants to read it later, and they would pin it to boards. Pinterest is the idea, just on a virtual standpoint. You create a board on any certain topic you want, and they range from things that I'm interested in, which like retention of students, to here's the best chocolate chip cookie recipes out there. And you could have a whole board about that. Or home decor, or fashion, or any number of topics. It's a network, so all of us, if we were in this network, each one of you would be posting articles that you find interesting. And all of a sudden I think, oh, I like that. I'm going to grab yours. I'm going to pin it on my board. And then I'm going to see a post that she does on chocolate chip cookies because she found a really good recipe. I like that too. I'm going to put it on my board. And then I've got people following me who see that recipe because she shared it and I posted it. And so it begins to be kind of a network of...
I get one registered account as a Pinterest user, yeah. And I can have multiple boards.
Yes. You can create as many boards as you want. I've got like 63 boards. And I create... And I've just got them kind of in my head like... Oh, that would be a good article. So I'll post that to my Instagram, because that's an article about how either a business or a school is using Instagram. So I'll go pin that to that board. So folks like you who want to know how do I use Instagram could go to that board and read a ton of articles that I posted. Does that make sense? Does that help to explain it a little bit?
What do you think of the average age of people using that? Because my daughter's 30 and she mm-hmm. uses that. Yeah. But I mean, you wouldn't use that for school kids, would you?
No, not so much high schoolers, but I do think that's why it's a really valuable tool for schools, because it is the 30-something, 40-something-year-old moms that occupy a big part of the demographic of Pinterest that typically resembles your market as well. You're usually targeting moms who are 30s and 40s, right? And if you want to be where they are, it makes sense to be kind of involved in that, because they're pinning things about their kids all the time, so they might post something to a board about schools. Another thing, somebody asked me in the last session, what about Instagram? And I think Instagram is a very valuable tool, particularly as you look at the younger moms, because younger moms grew up on Instagram. They're the ones that started Instagram. They're the ones that launched it and made it so popular, because they were 16, 17, 18 years old when Instagram really kind of took off. And now they're in their, you know, young 20s, maybe mid-20s now. Who do they have? Well, they have little bitty 4 or 5-year-old kids now, 3-year-olds. They're starting to have those needs, problems, pains, frustration, fears about educating their own. Where am I going to put my little kindergartner? Well, they're on Instagram every day. So, you know, that's another way that you can... They're probably, and statistically, they're showing that they're not as much on Facebook anymore, but that's where they hang out, is on Instagram. So that's why having those different, and that's the kind of where we go with that other topic on social media tools. If you see that in your chart of your sessions, that's one of the ways we go through that a little bit more. Just real quick, as you leave, if you write that down, or it's on this orange and blue card here, the same listing. There's just some free tips on social media that I've got there for you. as well. There's the slides from this are there, so you just put your name and email address in there and get all that information. There's something my own toolbox of the things that I use or I know will be good. What I use to create graphics, I list out what all those are. Things that help me post more efficiently on social media. I can tell you what those are. And so all that's listed there, so you can get that as well. As I mentioned before, grab one of these cards, take it. And if you want to get our weekly newsletter that's got marketing tips as well, we announce all of our free webinars. We do about quarterly, we do those. You can sign up for that and just leave it on the table here. And if you have any questions, I'm going to hang out for a few more minutes and then I've got to go to the next presentation. But I'm here all week, so grab me. I've got a booth over there. I might be at as well. So thank you all for coming. Oh, there's not a dumb question. Not in social media.
You'll be surprised. Okay, so I went to find you on Pinterest.
Yes.
And I can follow your little individual board. But how do I follow you? Yeah,
all right. Well, you because you are following me.
Well, I followed your podcast, and then I followed up the information. So isn't that just your board or just your board?
I hope it'd be useful. I mean, I'm on Pinterest quite a bit, but I'm using these kind of. That's not. I used to copy links and put them in a document. Then I would end up having to categorize my links every once in a while and recategorize them.
Yes,
now I can just put them all in.
I need to use it more, but it's just so hard to find the time to do it.
Yeah.
Go sign up for a round.
As well as the desk of the iPhone, they have a little tool that you can just, if you see an article, it's kind of like there's a bookmark here, and you can click on that. And there's a way you can pin it here.
Let's see how that.